Ladies and gentlemen,
you want experience during your football season? Well, buckle up, sweet cheeks.
That's all we need.
We've got all the experience in the world. This is I Want Your Flex with Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon. Mike and Dan break down everything you need to set your lineups. From position rankings to starts and sits, the guys help you make those hard decisions. And now, let's get your flex on. Here's Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon.
Seventh heaven, or maybe it was seventh hell watching the Broncos and Browns. I have no idea, Mike Harmon. Get him on Twitter at SwoloDome. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. That's how we started out week seven in the National Football League with the Browns and Broncos playing. Now, I understand, Mike, that this matchup in August and when the schedule was set up in May could have been a nice juicy one with some passionate fan bases. And the other thing that I like about it, it was very fall-colored theme. You know, when you have the orange of the Broncos and the orange and the brown of the Browns, it's a perfect October-autumn sort of game. But when you don't have Nick Chubb, when you don't have Kareem Hunt, when you don't have Baker Mayfield, left a lot to be desired, at least for the Cleveland side of things. But D'Ernest Johnson steps up big, big time for the Browns to get a win. And in the end, the Broncos' backfield stays the same with a clean split between Gordon and Javonte Williams. A lot of what we expected there, but also D'Ernest Johnson providing a lot of what we didn't expect.
Well, I tell you, D'Ernest Johnson, I'd ranked him 18th for the week, a little higher than the industry consensus, thinking that they'd stick to the bread and butter and the script and not really veer from what has been a winning formula going back to last year, right? Even though the principles have all changed from the quarterback to the running backs and some of the O-line, you did have Landry back, even though he got banged up again as the game went on, 5 for 37. Odell Beckham Jr. struggled a bit earlier, 6 targets overall, 2 for 23. But Keenum acquitted himself nicely, not eye-popping numbers, but D'Ernest Johnson, 7 carries, 52 yards on that final drive, Dan. So for fantasy owners, you'd already had a pretty good day, and then you watched him just run through the Denver defense. 5 minutes, 17 seconds, they're able to run out the clock after the Denver touchdown that made it a three-point game, never gave it back, and that was pretty impressive because that offensive line struggling. Von Miller runs into his teammate and leaves the field. A lot of anxious moments. X-ray is negative, but he'll probably miss some time now. For the Denver side of things, Teddy Bridgewater is Teddy Bridgewater. You mentioned the running backs. They both scored. So all the advice I gave on radio appearances early on Thursday, I breathe a deep sigh of relief, especially when Williams finally scored. You know, Gordon got the early, hey, I'm diving towards the pylon. He got in. I screwed that one up. And then eventually at least got the equalizer from those terms. But overall, you know, it's one of 272. Dan, I celebrate them all. I have to. They're not always pretty, but we do get 60 minutes of hard-hitting football action.
Do you remember on the last podcast when I told you how evenly split,
yeah,
Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon were? I'm just going to say this. Gordon, 8 carries. Williams, 4 carries. You're like, wow, that's 2-1. Then you look at the receptions. Williams, 6 receptions. Gordon, 2 receptions. And they both score touchdowns. And it's like, it's amazing on how they just cannot distance themselves from each other. And so that split backfield will end up getting people, you know, migraines and splitting headaches because of how it played out. But if you did at least play Javonte Williams, as Mike said, you were likely happy with that, especially in a PPR league where he did have those 6 receptions. My one takeaway from tonight, actually I had 2 takeaways. Number one, I guess I've been saying David Njoku's name wrong for years because it was Njoku all night, and for some reason, when Joe Buck said it, it registered with me. But when I had watched any other Browns broadcast, Mike, I've never noticed it as much as I did on Thursday night. And so then it made me so annoyed that I, not with Joe Buck, but that I was wrong, that I went and looked up the pronunciation guide because I always thought it was Njoku. And no, it is Njoku. So now I've got to change. So that was one takeaway. Number two, you can carve up the Denver defense running the football. So that's good news in the future when you have Antonio Gibson, if he's healthy, because they have Washington next week, Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard the week after that, and maybe even Philly carves up Denver on the ground in week nine. But that's what I ended up thinking, or week 10 it would be. That's what, my two takeaways from Thursday Night Football: mispronunciation on Njoku, and yeah, Denver's run defense is there for the take.
See, you've brought this to our attention, and it's an important piece because there are still people that say Tyrod Taylor, even though it's, you know, Tyrod.
Yes. Yes. And I pride myself, you know, Terrell, with all of this.
Yeah. No, I know you're a man that likes to, you know, sweep the corners, as Herm Edwards told us all the time. Everybody gets the middle of the floor. Got to get the corners, baby. The other thing to take away, like, I'm a huge fan of Courtland Sutton. 5 catches, 5 targets, 68 yards. But that ceiling that you kind of hoped was going to be there, yeah, it's a lot lower. A lot of guys 6 feet tall and taller have to duck coming into the room right now because you're not getting big plays necessarily out of this offense unless there's a broken tackle somewhere in there. It's just not in the script. So a little bit disappointing. And, you know, to the running backs, that means that both those guys, if we're going to get double-digit touches, and we barely got there today, but if you're going to get double-digit touches from both, you know, both stay flex-worthy. And in a day and age where the running back position is, well, kind of a mess, let's just call it what it is, and add buys and injuries, it's nice to have something you can count on a little bit, that Vic Fangio is going to be stubborn as hell and not name a guy his guy and keep splitting the workload.
Oh, man. It's an absolute mess. And I guess maybe it's the perfect way to start out week 7 in the NFL because it's our only week this year where we have 13 games because 6 teams are on bye. And I'm sorry, Mike, the NFL needs to do a better job of breaking down buys. You can't have, in the fantasy football world, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert all on bye in the same week and take their running backs and wide receivers with them. I mean, it is lacking when it comes to name and star power. And I even talked about the Vikings and Steelers and their brands being off. It is a damaging week when it comes to buys in the NFL just because of how prevalent these teams are. I mean, you got to sprinkle in some Jets here. You know, who cares if they they had their week 6 bye? Move it to week 7 if you're going to do this. You can't have Bills, Cowboys, Chargers, Vikings, and Steelers all on the bye in the same week. NFL's got to do a better job of this.
Well, normally you have the bye right after a London trip, but Miami eschewed that option. Instead, they've got a home date with Atlanta, so you would have had that. By the way, you can get into that game for under $15, guys.
Oh, really?
All of you out there, if you can get down to Miami and you want to boo all of the guys that have underperformed for your fantasy team, it's going to cost you $15 plus parking.
Not bad.
Not too bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
Just getting in. But, you know, to your point, I guess it's going to force media nationally to focus on some other teams, right? You say get the Jets in there. Well, maybe they'll talk about the Jets now. No, they won't, as they play the Patriots. But some of these other squads, let's face it, there's going to be a lot of talk of KC, Tennessee, and we'll get into that with the rankings and all the information here. The, quote, revenge game, which is the dumbest term ever ascribed to Rams-Detroit. Matthew Stafford didn't want to be in Detroit anymore.
Yeah,
if it's a revenge game, it's for Jared Goff.
We talked about this, didn't we, at the last podcast?
Yeah.
You're going to see a ballpark of 3 touchdown passes. You're not going to see 5 because he's going to stick it to the Lions.
Yeah. But, you know, a very large spread, as we'll talk about as we go. I mean, there's some great games. Maybe we'll talk more about, you know, everybody extolling the virtues now that they realize that Lamar Jackson has completed one or more forward passes in his career and all of that. So it's a fun time ahead. And look, I celebrate them all, and some of them are really potentially ugly this week, Dan.
Well, you're right. I was going to make the joke of I wouldn't watch the Falcons and Dolphins if they were in my next door neighbor's backyard. You know, like I was going to make that sort of joke. But who am I kidding? I watched Browns Broncos on a Thursday night. Like that's what I was doing. And really, with no fantasy implications whatsoever for any of my teams.
Well, it allowed you to turn away from the Bucs pretty fast, the way they operated on Thursday night against Miami.
They didn't even put that thing into gear. They let that one go. But hey, the Miami Heat, you would have thought they won the NBA title for how excited they were on Thursday night.
Hey, open a season with great celebrations, Dan. It's like Christmas Day, just like we do when we have our fantasy drafts, and then we look at them 3 hours later and hate our teams.
Well, I hate my team, so that is a perfect segue to move on to Week 7's top five players at the quarterback, running back, and wide receiver position. And there's a pretty good chance none of my players will be named in this next segment. Let's get to it, Mike. Your top five quarterbacks for Week 7 in the NFL.
Well, giving up about 20 fantasy points per game are the Houston Texans. Heavy favorite, your Arizona Cardinals, undefeated, looking to extend it. Kyler Murray. And the question here is, how much does he have to do in this game? That's the only thing that you fear, is that he just doesn't need to blow it out. You know, Houston, a middling team against quarterbacks, but seems to me you want to take care of your business early, which means heavy numbers for him. Lamar Jackson going up against Cincinnati. One of your top teams against opposing quarterbacks. Again, taking the tact last week against the Chargers, we called for some points to be scored. We just didn't think it was turn back the clock time with all those running backs. Wondering the same thing here, but the passing game, you saw some big play potential with Rashad Bateman now in the mix. So feeling Lamar against Cincinnati to try to show supremacy there in the AFC North. Matthew Stafford, mentioned him for a moment, going up against Detroit. Detroit middling against opposing quarterbacks when it comes to fantasy purposes. And yes, you'll have a nice balance here from Sean McVay. Enough to make fantasy owner happy. Not too much to embarrass Detroit. That's a game I think you can get to pretty easily at SoFi here in Southern California if you want a ticket for that one, Dan. I don't. Patrick Mahomes going up against Tennessee, fourth most fantasy points allowed. For all of the Patrick Mahomes slander, still putting up fantasy points, folks. And that's what we're talking here. Tom Brady, fifth against the Bears. They are in the top 10. Tops in sack totals, etc. Too many weapons for that Bears defense, though. And the Tampa Bay defense probably gives them, if the script plays out, a couple of short fields to work with.
I just want to say that the guy who got mad at us because we did the top five rankings, you're lucky, buddy, because we almost did top nine players at all the positions, but we're only sticking at the five.
All right, number six, Ryan Tannehill.
To that guy. Man, what a loser. sorry.
I love it.
I didn't give the disclaimer at the beginning of our rankings. You know what? I may just not do it for the rest of the season, just to make people. Some guy emailed us or tweeted us last week and mocked that we did a top five ranking because who's gonna bench Devonta Adams or Tyreek Hill? Shut up, you moron! Get your own podcast if you don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go to the running backs, the top five running backs for Week 7 in the National Football League.
I'm Captain Obvious, and this is Derrick Henry atop my list going up against Kansas City. Chiefs actually 10th worst against running backs. That doesn't surprise you. All the points coming at the quarterback and wide receiver position, which is why Ryan Tannehill ranks so well. But Derrick Henry, until we actually see him have to go into the shop for his 90,000-mile review of his motor. He's just cruising over everybody. Darrell Henderson all the way up to number two for me. Double-digit fantasy points each and every week. We know McVay loves to establish the run. Detroit second most generous to opposing running backs this season. Alvin Kamara going up against Seattle, the third most generous of fantasy squads against opposing running backs, already over 1,100 total yards and six touchdowns allowed and a ton of receptions out of the backfield. Expect Kamara to be active as a receiver in this one. Number four, looking at Leonard Fournette going up against the Bears. 11th best, just 21 fantasy points allowed per game. But Fournette also giving you the extra love as a receiver out of the backfield. And let's face it, Ronald Jones is a distant second, and expecting the Buccaneers to put up points. This is one of those. 12.5 points is the spread here in Tampa. 47 is the total. Expecting some fireworks from the Tampa offense in this one. And finally, we've got Aaron Jones going up against Washington. 10 touchdowns allowed thus far by the Washington defense against opposing running backs. So, yes, most of the usual suspects, we just shuffle up a deal.
Derrick Henry's ponytail is sixth on this list because that could get rushing yards for how dominant he has been. I mean, it truly is amazing. And the funny thing is, Mike, it's not mind-blowing because this is what happened last year. I mean, like, he was 900 yards clear of the third best running total, rushing total in the National Football League. So his separation is something that we have now become accustomed to, even though we continue to be amazed week by week.
Yeah, I just marvel at the durability, Dan, more than anything. And I know you can go through and say, all right, his first couple of years in the league, there were workload splits, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. He's still touching the ball 400 times a season.
Yeah.
Right? In pretty much every other backfield in the National Football League, we're always talking about three, four, five guys, if you include the quarterback, that have some reasonable number of touches. Here, this guy is just a behemoth week in, week out. And what did he get up to? 21.8 miles per hour? At his peak on that 76-yard touchdown run. I don't know if you saw it synced up. It was beautiful with Forrest Gump.
Yes, I did.
Which might have been one of the greatest little video edits I've seen this side of anything having to do with Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
So it works for me.
I don't know if Corked Bats did that or who it was, but it was very good. By the way,
I was really waiting for you to jump on that Timothy Chalamet reference there.
I don't know who Timothy Chalamet is.
I really wanted to just see if Bursch was paying attention, and he about fell out of his chair. So I got what I needed there, dude.
What am I missing here?
He's in the new Dune movie. He's going to be Willy Wonka. Like, all of a sudden, he's an it guy. He showed up on a red carpet with one of the greatest suits of all time. It made Spike Lee look like he was wearing just your normal church, you know, Sunday kind of, you know, plain navy suit when he showed up at the Knicks game the other day.
This is not I Want Your Dune. This is I Want Your Flex, Mike. I don't know who this guy is.
But you know what I could do? I could take Derrick Henry and I could superimpose him into the footage of the worm they're trying to evade.
Here's the thing.
He runs away from that.
Timothy Chalamet, that's the name? Is that it?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. I would have typed it like Timothy, T-H-Y, but I see here that it's E-E with an accent over the E.
There you go.
I'm way over my head. I did know that Fox played the preview of Dune at the 2-minute warning, and I had no idea what the hell I was watching.
There you go. Right. Now available for you to stream, though, Dan.
That will be on my to-dune list this weekend.
Ba-boom.
Let's go to the wide receivers, top five wide receivers to play in week 7. Will Charlemagne, is that his name, or what is it, Chalamet?
Chalamet, not Shalimar, no. Like the old 70s band. There you go, showing my range here.
About 3 minutes ago, I think I said five straight is's in a row. I don't know, we may have to go back and at the end of the podcast count it, but I think I said is about five times straight. Anyway, let's get to the wide receivers to play in week 7.
Number one, Cooper Kupp. You can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. In 5 of 6 games, he's gone for at least 92 receiving yards and 7 or more receptions in 5 of 6. So set it and forget it. He's a Ronco product, and he's already putting his name up at this point in his career with some of the all-time greats. Now it's just a question, can he stay healthy? Well, for one day on a Sunday against Detroit, you're feeling pretty good. Tyreek Hill going up against Tennessee. 4 games, double-digit target. Tennessee, the worst fantasy defense against opposing wideouts, already looking at 10 touchdowns, over 1,400 receiving yards. Look for Tyreek Hill to find his space. This one's going to be a fun one. DeAndre Hopkins, number three, the revenge game. No, he wanted out of Houston. Nobody cares. he's looking at 38 targets thus far, 367 yards, six scores. The only detriment here is Kyler Murray has found other people to get involved, and now Zach Ertz shows up. I mean, it's just not fair. But number four, we're looking at Devontae Adams going against Washington's second worst fantasy defense against wideouts, already 100 receptions through 6 weeks. This was supposed to be the team with teeth, Dan. That defensive line, still waiting for them to get off the bus. 10 touchdowns allowed. Let's look for some more magic from, well, if Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones do their job, then, you know, the third part of the triumvirate gets into the end zone as well. And then a rare appearance here. We're going to get Calvin Ridley into our top five. Why?
Hey, hey.
Three straight double-digit targets in games that he's played, 255 receiving yards. And you look at the Miami Dolphins, bottom five against opposing passing squads. And look what Trevor Lawrence was able to do in big stretches over in London. So opportunity there. Do you want me to do 6, 7, and 8? Did we amend it? No.
Go ahead, do it.
I'll go just Chase and Deebo Samuel. Two guys that, fan of watching Jamar Chase, he rope-a-doped everybody by not being able to catch anything, mm-hmm. right? Couldn't catch a cold. We don't really want to say that, though, do we? No, it is what it is. You can still get – it's still cold and flu season. Make sure you take care of yourself. But against Baltimore had that rare game where, well, the defense actually clicked on all cylinders and everything worked against the Chargers. I don't know if that was an outlier, if they've suddenly come together to steal the great lyrics of the Beatles and later covered by Aerosmith. And then Deebo Samuel, because I want to see him run at 21.8 miles per hour so I can superimpose him over the Derrick Henry footage and Forrest Gump. He's already got 52 targets and over 500 receiving yards on the season. I'm looking for some big plays downfield in this one against the Colts secondary.
I know T. Higgins missed a couple of games this season, but I, for some reason, felt it would be more of a three-headed monster with Cincinnati, with Tyler Boyd, and with Jamar Chase. And, you know, Chase had the big kind of blown coverage play against the Packers.
Yes.
But even if you take that out of the equation, it is a bit surprising to me to see on how his targets haven't dominated because Boyd's just right behind him with 38 targets on the season.
Mm-hmm.
But I am surprised at how quickly, and it's not even Mike off the footballs are different narrative that you mentioned. It's just that I thought that there was not a better supporting cast around it because it's not meant to be a knock it on Boyd or Higgins, but that this relationship that Chase and Burrow had at LSU has seemed to carry over to the NFL with relative ease.
Yeah, it's been fun so far, and when you've got a healthy Joe Mixon, you watch that offense, a lot of opportunities. As you said, Boyd, the target count's still there, mm-hmm. right? Only three against the Lions, but yeah, that's an outlier because you're blowing them out, right?
Sure.
So it changes. Each game is not the same. Yeah, it all goes into the database and the algorithms and whatever, but doesn't take into account game situation because he only had five targets in that game against Green Bay, but caught four passes there, just 24 yards. And then you, from a yardage perspective for Tyler Boyd, it's not been there, right? Picking up first downs, helping extend drives. But outside of that one big game against Jacksonville, the 24-21 win, he hasn't cracked 70 yards but one other game.
Yeah.
That was the loss to Chicago. So still spreading around. Jamar Chase been fantastic, but still looking for this offense. They've still got room to grow. And the offensive line, not where it needs to be, but getting better. Big test this week against Baltimore.
It's kind of with everything being connected, I still am not a full believer in the Bengals, even at 4-2. I playing Green Bay tough. I still don't know how good Green Bay is. I think they're going to get better with David Bakhtiari whenever he ends mm-hmm. up coming back. But I still am just – I am not sure on how great they are. I don't know how good the Vikings are, who the Bengals beat early. This is, I think, a really big test for the Bengals to really gauge who they are this weekend in Baltimore.
Can I ask a big question here before we continue?
Yeah.
Did Jamar Chase, with his brilliance through the first 6 weeks, did he make the pyramid? Did he make the Dan Beyer MVP pyramid?
did not. A receiver did this week. Cooper Kupp. Yes, Cooper Kupp back in the rankings. He actually replaced Devontae Adams, and I don't want to place too much pressure on touchdown receptions, but I will say that him getting in the end zone like he did against the Giants did have him replace Devontae Adams. But they're right now, unfortunately, in the pyramid. There are only two non-quarterbacks in the pyramid. Derrick Henry was 3 this week, and Cooper Kupp was 10th.
I dig it. At Dan Beyer on Fox on Twitter, where you see the latest pyramid. Of course, I retweet it over at Swollen Dome.
I appreciate that. I appreciate the support, and so does everybody who helps make the pyramid, which is myself and then Elijah and Will at the graphics that handle the graphics for us at Fox Sports Radio. So thank you very much for the support of the pyramid. All right, let's get to the hot plays for Week 7 in the National Football League. Guys that may not be in the rankings that we just revealed, but they are guys that you want to get in your lineup. Who do you got as the hot plays, Mike? Who do you have for the
hot plays
for Week 7? Can't forget the imaging. Leave out the imaging guys at all either. Who do you got for the hot plays, Mike?
Well, going up against the fifth worst rush defense and playing a team that is beleaguered and battered. Looking for Chuba Hubbard. Let's go. Going up against the New York Football Giants. As you look at them, they've already given up 740 rushing yards, total of about 1,050 total yards to running backs thus far. This is one where Chuba Hubbard gets to feast. I'm reticent to throw Sam Darnold into the mix here, but we got a lot of bye weeks and injury, which means strange bedfellows. So maybe you look down that barrel as well. We had Darrell Williams as a hot play on the edge of the top five a week ago. Well, Tennessee, there's an opportunity for you once again for another big day. We talked about A.J. Brown. If it's ever going to happen, it's going to happen now.
I think it does, too.
Yeah, you mentioned T. Higgins going up against Baltimore coming into last week's game, the worst-rated pass defense in the league in many metrics. So opportunity here for Joe Burrow to make some magic. And when we look at the board, this is one that Vegas doesn't have a very large total here on this one, Dan. Only 46.5, so hang a star on that one. But I still think there's going to be some movement here and some opportunities. And that's all we can hope for. Right, target count sitting at 8 to 10. What they do with it, I can't promise you. Cordarrelle Patterson, 5 touchdowns his last 5 against Miami. Why? Because, well, I wanted to mention someone in a positive tone from Atlanta. Although I did with Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, so, you did have Ridley.
It's a rare double feature.
And I may have some Falcon love at the end.
Look at
and
that.
And it may be a guy that you already mentioned, but
Falcon love.
So they'll get enough of it. Don't worry, they won't be short on it.
There you go. Two a time on the other side, going up against Atlanta, over 300 yards in that game against Jacksonville. Saw some big throws, and obviously he and Jalen Waddle, who we'll talk about a little bit more in a moment. And then we got Derek Carr going up against Philadelphia. He got back into the good graces of everybody. They got off the mat and really put together a good game plan. We'll see how much that kind of energy can be sustained, but at least saying all the right things and for one game coming out with a big effort. Philadelphia, one of those teams you can get after in the passing game as well. So expecting some points to be scored by your Las Vegas Raiders.
Do you remember when we did the podcast the night that Gruden got fired? That's when we recorded the podcast. It's for what would have been a week and a half ago or so. Do you remember that, Mike?
Yeah.
We were talking about Gruden's dismissal. And I said it because I know I said this was the first place I said it, and I did say it on the network. And I said that I thought that John Gruden's dismissal really would be an opportunity where maybe Derek Carr then doesn't have somebody looking over his shoulder the whole time.
Yeah.
And any mistake that he makes is going to be magnified because that's what Gruden does. The Gruden obsesses over that stuff. And so while things are going great, if you have a hiccup, then that maybe can translate to the next game and go to the next game and double over. And then all of a sudden it mutates and now you've got a real problem. And I actually think that in a weird way, that could have started to happen with Derek Carr from that game in LA. And then they had the bad game against the Bears. And the point being is I just felt it would free up Derek Carr a little bit. And Josh Jacobs said this week, this was his quote, when talking about the difference between Gruden being there and now interim coach Rich Bisaccia saying, quote, man, the sideline, it was like there was no anxiety. It was weird. Everybody was calm. You didn't have somebody cussing at you or going crazy at the refs. None of that. I think this is really something to watch with the Raiders going forward, and specifically with Derek Carr, who was great in that Denver game, and now you actually have players saying it. I think it's a really big deal.
And then you had Gruden saying, hey, you just wait. The truth is going to come out. And then you have quotes by like Jacobs and others that make you say, you really want that? You really want that? And then Congress may get involved with all of the stuff off the Washington emails. That's a whole other thing, Dan, not to derail from a fantasy podcast. But to your point, yeah, they played loose. They looked like they were ready to play. Right after all of that started to break, what happened? You still had Gruden on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Right? And still now it's the proverbial elephant in the room that it's like, all right, are we going to acknowledge this? How do we go through? Because it ain't business as usual. And certainly once they let him go, perhaps a huge weight, as much as it vexes and Mark Davis has to figure out what the hell to do, and Mike Mayock now has 51% control, which again is one of the most inane things I've ever heard. But it is what it is. It's their organization, but for Derek Carr, it's his opportunity to really shut up a lot of critics this year, both from a fantasy perspective, which is our topic here, but just from an NFL perspective as to where he belongs in any of these conversations, where he's always been an afterthought.
All right, those are the hot plays for week 7. Now let's get to your
cold sores.
Yeah, the cold sores, the guys you don't want to see, you don't want to touch, you don't want to look at, you don't want anything to do with. Who do you stay away from in week 7, Mike?
Well, I'm looking at Antonio Gibson. You mentioned him a little bit before, the shin injury. Still playing through it at this point. Kind of amazing the way it's been described in some of this. And we had Jay Glazer on. We didn't talk about this specifically, but there was a good joke. But we had Howie Long and he were heading to the airport. And Howie started joking that Jay's medical information all comes from WebMD. I looked up what was going on with Antonio Gibson's shin based on the terms that were put out there. I'm like, how's he playing football? Like, I know you can pad it up and you can numb it up and whatever else. Like, I just don't understand. Man has a ridiculous pain threshold. Either way, going up against Green Bay, middling defense against opposing running backs, I still think it's more McKissick. Why? Because that defense isn't going to do anything. So you're going to need more pass catching. Carson Wentz going up against San Francisco. Not a lot of bad plays for quarterbacks this week. You know, and yes, you've got the usual suspects, guys like Geno and Goff, and maybe Taylor Heineke, guys that you wouldn't necessarily be looking to start, but not a lot of bad plays. I guess Wentz is as close as we get here going up against San Francisco. So I've got him ranked 20th on the week. San Francisco can be beaten. We've certainly seen that over the course of the year, giving up 21 fantasy points per game, 8 touchdowns, just 1 interception. Nice rapport going with Pittman. Getting T.Y. Hilton back is huge. Obviously, Taylor on the ground. So you got some balance. This is just a gut feeling for San Francisco coming off of some time off here that the defense comes to rally up. I'm sad to say I got to put your guy Tyler Lockett here just because I can't trust, you know, where that ceiling is right now in that offense. Go back to Washington, Terry McLaurin going up against Green Bay. I know Jair Alexander isn't there, but again, trying to trust that offense to put up big numbers, right? They're in your lineups, right? They become the cautionary tales, but certainly you've got to maximize your other roster spots. And then we'll grab one more quarterback for good measure. Why? Because nobody's healthy. Nobody's healthy at all. So Daniel Jones going up against Carolina, maybe he'll make a few plays with his legs, but you really have very few weapons available to him this week. So even in the heavy buy, heavy injury kind of week here in week 7, I'll look for a different option.
That Panthers-Giants game, you are not going to get anything good from that game. And what I mean by that is, anything that happens in a positive way in that game, Mike, will be, well, that's because they were playing the blank. But
yeah,
the negative portion of it is what you can take from it. So if Sam Darnold stinks, then Darnold does stink. If Daniel Jones stinks, then Daniel Jones stinks. But there's no way you could look at it, and if Daniel Jones has a good game, to see like, or to say like, hey, all right, I think Jones is going to be all right. No, you cannot do that. And I know that Carolina's got a good defensive front, so I don't even think we're going to be able to see that happening. But there's really no positives, I think, that you could take from Giants-Panthers on Sunday.
Yeah, I would agree. DJ Moore, and I mean, there's guys that are going to be in your lineups, but the entire time, I think it's kind of like the Thursday night football game, Denver and Cleveland. It's the, I put them in, and I hoped for the best.
Yeah, there you go. And listen, you had mentioned Chuba Hubbard as a hot play. It's not that they're not going to perform. The point is you're just not going to learn anything different from those guys than you knew the week prior, just because of who those teams are. Like, a win over the Giants is, who cares? And unfortunately, it may be a win over the Panthers now is who cares. So that's the point that I go with that. All right.
Yeah, we've
so
kind of drifted into that space of the season.
Yes. Yes, we have. Let's get to the ninjas, or excuse me, the
fantasy ninja.
Yeah, the ninjas for week 7 of the NFL to wrap up our breakdown of players.
Yeah, made mention of him before, talking about Tua, is Jalen Waddle. You know, 13 targets, 10 catches, only 70 receiving yards, but 2 touchdowns in the game against Jacksonville. That's the second time this year that he's finished with double-digit reception count. The 70 marked a season/career high. Only twice has he exceeded 60 receiving yards, but I'm looking for the hat trick going up against Atlanta in front of an adoring throng in Miami. Again, $15 to get in, Dan Pyre. All right, I sold that as best I could. Did I say that Atlanta was the 10th worst against? Yeah, okay, I already did that. How about A.J. Green going up against Houston? Spread the ball around. Guy who's become a solid double-digit fantasy point getter for you in PPR leagues, of course. And then it's a tough play because it's the wishing, wanting, hoping as Kyler Murray distributes the ball against Zach Ertz's arrival at coming off the Max Williams injury. Ain't helping much in terms of target distribution, but opportunity could knock for you. How about Devontae Freeman? Yes, the rare appearance here going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. Why? Because you've got that workload split. And if I were to take something from our NFL on Fox family, you know, you're the lead dog. That's what they call it when they're making their picks. So I'll use it here. So we'll get him in flex worthy, maybe back end RB2. Elijah Mitchell, one of the early fantasy darlings of 2021. Opportunity here against Indianapolis, middle of the road run defense. Sony Michel, if you believe this game's going to get out and away from Detroit altogether, again, it's a 15-point spread, Dan. We've drifted past the 2-touchdown mark in this one, so it means Sony Michel could get some work as well. And then a rare appearance here by Jameis Winston. Again, 6 teams on bye, Dan. So I had to pick up one down the road, and that gives us Jameis Winston. I have no idea what to expect in that game, but it's Jameis versus Geno, so I'm in.
Sure. It's your Monday night affair. I mean, obviously, we'll be invested. I do think that the Seahawks will have something for the Saints. Whether it will be enough, that is another question in of itself. The Jalen Waddle play, I'll just say this, Mike, still alive in a guillotine league. Let's knock on some wood.
Yeah, buddy.
And a week ago, I saw Jalen Waddle in someone's lineup, and I said, oh, good. And then I saw Jalen Waddle in the lineup this week, and I was like, ooh. So I'm a little bit on that train, even though I may not want to go check out Falcons and Dolphins for $15, but I could see why Jalen Waddle would be a nice play. The players that Mike named are many, many, many. And unfortunately, we are going to cross paths, and Mike and I will be head-to-head.
Let's go!
One situation is I give you one reason to start and to bench a guy. It's a segment we like to call
3, 2, 1.
Give me one reason.
All right, I'm going to give you a reason to bench this guy. We're going to be going big game hunting, and this is the guy that Mike and I will be going head-to-head on. Big game hunting, again, I'm not saying that you actually should bench this guy. The point is, if you don't get production from him, you know where you heard it first. And I'm going to say DeAndre Hopkins of the Arizona Cardinals.
I love it.
For a lot of the reasons that you mentioned about A.J. Green, but I can't mention those because I can only give you one reason.
Pass distribution. I'll say it for you.
you can say that one. I was also going to say TD dependent.
Yeah.
Yardage-wise, he has not cracked 100 yards. And when you look at where Arizona is and how this game could play out, I think that it could be one of those games that is in hand and you're not going to need him out there. And maybe if he does catch a touchdown, it's still only 40 yards receiving. And if he doesn't, maybe he gets stuck with 40 yards. But that's the big game hunting. I don't want to do it every week, Mike, but every now and then we'll go for one, and that's what we're going to do this week with DeAndre Hopkins.
I dig that. That's good knowledge, good numbers, and as well as Arizona's playing, right, you would normally say, all right, well, the studs are performing. It's like, well, Kyler Murray is, but you've got so many other mouths to feed. We didn't even talk about Chase Edmonds and James Conner and what they're doing on the ground and how well the defense is playing. Right now you've got a fully well-rounded team cruising into the midseason.
I'm going to give you one reason to start Miles Sanders, running back for the Philadelphia Eagles. And the reason is this: was Nick Sirianni, the Eagles head coach, was basically being mocked by the home fans in week 6 on Thursday night when they finally handed the ball off to Miles Sanders. So the mocking of Sirianni by the Eagles fans, the dramatic cheers, the over the top, when he finally got a carry. Sirianni heard those, and it was a topic of conversation throughout the week in Philadelphia about the lack of usage of the running backs. So just the mocking of the Philly fans to Sirianni finally after they were able to run the ball, I think changes them up and mixes it up, and I think you see a lot more of Miles Sanders Sunday against the Raiders.
From your lips to God's ears, my friend, let me tell you, because wait on Miles Sanders. We've seen the explosive plays. What is kind of funny for me is I think it'll start to equate to Matt Nagy promising more of Cole Kmet and never delivering more of Cole Kmet.
Well,
that's my fear.
If Miles Sanders doesn't deliver in week 7, I will play Colonel Sanders in week 8. You can mark that down.
Well,
Mike,
it is going to be Halloween. Are we going to do a video podcast?
I'll tell you, Colonel Sanders actually may get more fantasy points if Miles Sanders doesn't, because this is absurd. I actually had really high hopes for Miles Sanders this season in fantasy, and it has been anything but. Can you get a Colonel Sanders Halloween costume?
I'm sure I could make that happen in short.
Well, I don't need one. I just didn't know. By the way, with a baby, as we've looked at trying to figure out different costumes.
Are you doing the family thing now?
No, there's no way. My wife wanted us to, and I said, no, that's not happening. We can dress him up. You know, he's got no say. He's only 6 months old. So, like, but there are so many costumes.
He's your kid, Dan. He's got no say. No, I'm just kidding.
there are Magnum P.I. baby costumes.
Oh, nice.
There are Larry David baby costumes. Like, you could dress your kid up as Larry David. So there are a wide range of options. I don't know if we'll do Colonel Sanders. I don't know if that's the route that we want to go, but if Miles Sanders doesn't perform in fantasy football, I may have to play the Chicken King. All right, let's get to our three-point conversion and wrap this sucker up. Our final 3 points is we leave you heading into week 7 of the NFL season. Do you want the honors, Mike, or do you want me to go first?
Well, how about I lead us off here? We'll take us down a deep, dark path. All right, number one, the big numbers. We got 5 games this week, Dan, where the spread is at least 7 points. We don't normally get that. We've only got 2 games where the over-under is over 50 points, and one of those is just 50.5. That's Detroit and the Rams, and then you have KC and Tennessee, which is a whole other world, which you'll get to, I'm sure, in a minute. Tua time. Let's go. 329, 2-1, 22 yards on the ground against Jacksonville. Let's fire him up again. Here's an opportunity. You got a bye week. You had to go to the waiver wire and find yourself a little bit of love. Tua's your guy. And finally, look, after getting some ownership of the Bears and declaring it and then claiming he blacked out, which is just stupid. Like, once you say it, you say it. Just own it. This isn't going through your minions like you're unhappy in the offseason again and here's pictures of me on vacation. Okay, Aaron, I know you said it with Pat McAfee, so you clearly remembered. Anyway, so maybe you get some ownership.
Olin Krutz? How about Olin?
I want to punch you in the face. And then he doubled down. He called back in after Rodgers gave his explanation. Said, "Yeah, I still want to punch him in the face." And then people, you know, they made the T-shirts and they asked Olin if he should, if they wanted him to send one. And he goes, "Yeah, I'd use it as toilet paper."
Oh, nice. There you go.
There you go. Well, hey. You got to take it to the sometimes you take it to the crude humor.
Sure.
Along
sure.
the way. But for Aaron Rodgers, I mean, look, if you go 22-5 in your career against a team, like the aforementioned Cole Kmet flat out said it. He hasn't been there for long, but said, well, he kind of has. He's not wrong, is he?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's how I feel about it as a lifelong, you know, Bears guy, Southside Chicagoan. But going up this week, maybe this is how you cure all ills. You print them off a couple of those bogus ownership certificates that people pay for, right? So they're shareholders in the Packers.
Careful, you're talking about like 20% of my family, so just be careful. No, I'm kidding.
They really think they own shares.
No, they just have the shares.
It's a nice certificate. Look, I mean, how you spend your money, I'm not going to.
It's on the wall underneath the deer head. That's where it is.
But go ahead and print one of those out for Aaron. Put whatever number of shares you want because he's going to own Lambeau this week as you have Washington coming in. Not that he doesn't already, but just outside the top five, but still an opportunity is huge. I was thinking more they run out the clock in the second half so you see a bunch of A.J. Dillon and just try to get out of there. But Washington's already allowed 16 passing touchdowns on the year, 27 fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. So a bunch of discount double checks. Maybe he busts out the guitar and sings a song in the end zone. I'm not quite sure. Either way, I'm looking for a big game out of Aaron Rodgers, and I just wanted to get the ownership crack in there because then we could talk about Hall of Fame finalist, you know, Olin Krutz, and celebrate him a little.
All right, my three-point conversion. Listen, the points of Palooza seems to be obvious with the Titans and Chiefs. I don't think that it's any surprise, and I think Mike alluded to it as well.
57.5, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to give you another points of Palooza that I think that you could see, and it's in Las Vegas. I think Eagles-Raiders could be an opportunity where you see a bunch of points. So if you are looking to play, guys, maybe a Henry Ruggs ends up getting there with some big plays. Maybe there's a Devontae Smith or a Jalen Reagor play. Points of Palooza outside of Nashville will actually be in Las Vegas. How about this? Taylor hems up some Levi's. Yeah, big day for Jonathan Taylor.
I really tried
to stretch it with the Levi's Stadium taking on the Niners.
Good.
I think Jonathan Taylor has a big day for the Colts on Sunday Night Football. And with all the buys, it tells you when you have Colts Niners as Sunday Night Football, we're in some tough sledding for Week 7. And finally, I hope you appreciate this. This is a player that you mentioned earlier. I'm Larry. This is Cordero. And this is my other brother, Cordero.
That's my guy.
Yes. Cordero Patterson, touchdown rushing, touchdown passing, and for any Newhart fans, you'll know what I'm talking about. So I agree with you. I like Cordell Patterson to play for the Falcons against the Dolphins. Getting in the end zone two different ways for Atlanta.
Look at that. A two-way Cordero. You know, Bob Newhart is a proud graduate of St. Ignatius College Prep in Chicago.
Oh, did not know that.
Harmon, class of 91. I'm not quite sure when he graduated. We've only crossed paths and been able to say hello once. But, you know, look, I'm so far off the radar. Like some folks on the network, Dan, they could be the number one guy at their high school. Me, not even close.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for you.
I got John Mulaney, the comedian. I got Andre Brower, you know, Brooklyn 99, and Homicide, Life on the Street,
man.
And obviously Newhart. I mean, just there's a lot there. I'm a jag in Mike Mayock terms.
Well, I'll just say this. Hey, class of 91, stop getting on Harmon's case for not going to the reunion. How about having it in the spring instead of football season? Huh? You ever thought about that? Maybe not.
No, right, that was Mike well on, done. Thanks, pal. Thanks
Mike
for sticking out.
Yeah, get Mike on Twitter at Swollen Dome. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Byer on Fox. Hope you survive the buys. Hope you have a great fantasy week. And we will talk to you at the end of Week 7. Have a good one.